Amen. So we are starting a brand new series, and this series is called Relate. Relate. Everybody say Relate. Relate. So we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks about loving God, loving others, and living a life fully alive. And so as we've talked about over the last 2 weeks, we did Palm Sunday, and then last week was Easter. And congratulations, you guys are here, not on Easter Sunday, but the Sunday after Easter. That's amazing. So give yourself a hand. And so you're like, I am not a CNE Christian. I am a CNE plus today, at least. So thank you guys for coming. I am so excited about, I've been wanting to do this series for a while. And so we actually started talking about the gospel. We did two part of the gospel. We did part one. We talked about we are saved by faith. It is by faith and faith alone. And then last week, we actually talked about that. So we've been raised to walk in newness of life, a new way. We talked about how God created this good world and something in our own nature, in our own sinfulness, it went wrong, and all kind of stuff was a result of that. We have anger, so hatred, all the things that go on in our world that does not look like the way God. This is, I don't know if you know it or not, this is not the way God intended it. Amen. God intended us to live in a good world with his character and his nature put in it. And we talked about how last week we are raised to walk in newness of life. So, man, if you could get rid of that echo or that thing, it would be great. So anyway, where was I going? Oh, so we're going to talk about how the new life works into our relationships. So we're going to talk about our relationships. We're going to talk about our relationship with God, and we're talking about our relationship with other people. You know, in our world, we live in a really wild time. I don't have to say that. We know that it's different. It is a different world. If you are over the age of 40, you are looking at this world going, what has happened? What is going on? It's crazy. People are angry. People are all upset. Show that picture. You have this hello. Show that picture I sent. So on a normal everyday, this actually happens, right? So like, people are angry. People are ready to snap in a moment. And yeah, wow. That like really happened. That was amazing. How many of y'all watched that live? How many of y'all watched that live? You're like, oh my, that's like, you're like, he's not, what is he doing? Oh, he just slapped him right across the face. And so you can take that off. But people, it's a weird time. People are angry. People are confused. People are, relationships are, we're struggling with relationship. Every study that's out there, when it has to do with relationships, says that we are struggling as a culture in relationships, every one of them. One of the ones that I found really interesting, it says this. It says a study published by the Journal of Computer the Journal Computers and Human Behavior found that a higher level of social media use were associated with lower levels of empathy in college students. A study published in the Journal of Developmental Psychology found that children who spent more time with screens, smartphones, tablets, computers, had a lower level of empathy and social skills compared to children who spent more time interacting with people to people. Researchers suggest that social media use can lead to a phenomenon, watch this, you're all going to understand this when I say it, it's called empathy fatigue, where people become desensitized to others' sufferings because they are constantly exposed through it through social media. So our ability to have empathy with other people is a problem in our world. And our ability to understand like other people and have compassion and to have some sense of relationship with one another, we're failing at this. And literally, you and I were born for relationships. When a child is born, he's born with this innate quality of the need for relationships. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of, so there's actually some really good things about, actually, let me just not all go negative. There's some good things that's happening in the realm of
good.
Of relationships. We're actually, because of social media, here, how about this? Pastor's going to say something positive about social media. We're actually able to keep in touch. We actually have longer relationships with people across the board because we're able to stay in touch with people, you know, from your, like, I have a friend of mine that is like, he's an avid, he's still friends with people from his elementary school. I'm like, that's crazy. But it's all because of social media. He's able to do that. Actually, we're able, we're better at being, having relationship with people outside of our social cultures, right? Different ethnic and even religious people that we are able to relate to each other better. Those are positive things. But when we dive down to it, it's almost like, it's like the smoke screen that says, hey, we're doing really good relationships, and really we're not. And it's because of this idea, especially in the idea of this empathy, of our ability to empathize and feel other people's pain, either because we've been so, it's always on us. Like how many, you know, I've said this at nauseam, but you are not created to know all the trauma and difficulties of everything that's happening all over the world. I personally believe that we were made for small tribes of people. The small groups of people that I think that's why I was a big church guy. I am now 100% a small church guy. I love small church because it's relationships. Like our faith is built on relationships, right? And I know big churches, they do a great job. And if you want to be a part of a big church, then obviously you have to go into small groups and all of that. The smaller groups you can do, the better. And I'm all about large church, don't hear me, and David hates large churches. That's not what I said. But the idea is we are made for relationships. And so, actually, that's one of the reasons why we started Hope Church, is we believe fully and strongly, actually, that we believe, Julie and I, we talk about it all the time, we believe that the discipleship happens best in relationships, not just from a pulpit, not just from as great as they did this morning, your best a way that you're going to learn how to grow in your relationship with Jesus is grow in a relationship with each other, right? We'll get into that in a little bit. So, all right, so let's dive in. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Very familiar scripture to many of us. Verse 28 says, one of the scribes approached, and when they heard them debating, they saw Jesus was answering them well. He asked them, which of the commandments is most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, listen, Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command, there is no other command greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. Like Jesus needed that voice of affirmation. Cool, thanks. You are right, teacher. You have said correctly that there is only one and there's no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all. Then he adds this, than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Actually, a pretty wise scribe there. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great? Jesus looks at you and goes, hey, that was good. Like, whoo. He says, like Indiana Jones, you have chosen wisely. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to them, you are not far from what? The kingdom of God. And no one dared to question him any longer. I love that. The greatest command is to love God and love others and love people. See, this idea of relationships, this connectivity of relationship between us and each other is not a side issue. See, when we talk about, there's a story, I'll tell you this story. Like some of y'all have heard this, it's kind of a joke. So there's this pastor and he got up one Sunday. I never do jokes, so if you're new here, this is like a new thing. So there's this pastor, and this is one of those pastor jokes. Because that's a category. So there's this pastor, and he gets up and he goes, man, I'm going to go play golf today on a Sunday morning. And there's like, he goes, I'm going to call in sick to church. So he picks up the phone, calls somebody else. And he says, he goes, hey, I'm not feeling well. Totally lying. Hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. Could you just fill in for me? Here's my notes. Just go for it. It'll be great. So he gets all his golf stuff ready, and he gets all his stuff, and he goes out, and he hits the first hole. And meanwhile, there's these two angels that are standing above him. And he says, oh, my. These angels are looking at each other going, can you believe this pastor? Can you believe this guy? He goes, he is skipping church. He's the pastor, and he's skipping his own church. He says, we got to do something. And the other angel goes, I got this. He says, so he gets up, first hole, pastor gets up, pulls back his awkward swing, like this guy has an awkward swing, but pulls up his awkward swing, and he hits it, and an angel flew down, grabbed the ball, took it through the hole, and threw it in. Hole in one. The pastor's like, yeah, this is amazing. I knew it was God that I skipped church today. So then he gets up to the next hole, hits it, boom, the angel flies down. And the other angel's just bewildered. Like, what? He goes, God, just watch. All through every 18 hole, one after the other, angel flies down, grabs the ball, throws it in the hole. Hole in one, like unheard of. Unheard of. Impossible. And the pastor's going, man, that was amazing. This is incredible. And the angel looks at the other angel and goes, what did you just do? You just made him hit the game of all games. And he said, who's he going to tell? You see, we were made for relationships. We're made for relationships. So I guess if I ever want to hit a really good home game, I need to go. Anyway, I'm going, yeah. Next Sunday, I may not be here. I'm just kidding. But we were made, like when things happen, right, for us. Like yesterday, I got to go to the the Atlanta sports team, let me just say, Georgia Tech. I went to their spring game yesterday. Whatever. Another. See, we'll have a fight here. Like we're just about to have. This is going to be worse than Ephesus right here. It's about to go down. Woo! I'm gonna step back up on the stage. But I was able to, and I met Buzz yesterday. Me and my sister, we met Buzz. We saw the Ramblin' Wreck like right up close. It was super cool. It was amazing. And we got our selfie like all with him and everything. It was amazing. And you know what? The experience was great, but I'm so glad I was with my sister and my nephew yesterday. I'm glad I didn't do it alone. I'm glad that I had. And then, like, the first thing I did was, like, oh, post it, right? Because I want everybody to, like, I want people to, you know, it's like this idea of I want other people to enjoy the things that we're enjoying. Like, when we have good times, we want people around us to have those experiences with. We have bad times, man, we really want people around us. We were made for relationships. But relationships only happen when we do them God's way. Good relationships only happen when we do them the way God asks us to do it. Relationships, they're a crucial part of our lives. They influence even our own identity as our relationships with other people, our worldview, our well-being, our friends, our family, our spouses, our co-workers, strangers, they all share a part in even our own development of who we are as a people. And Jesus, like, has a lot to say. Scripture has a lot to say about relationships. So we talk about this idea when he says that love God and love others. He says these are the greatest commandments. Now, let's just be honest with yourself. Do we act that way? That's the greatest commandment. And then what does that look like? What does loving God and loving each other look like? And many times in our world, we have this ethereal idea of a lot of spiritual truths. And they're hard to grab hold of because we put them in this ethereal kind of way, right? Like love. Love. I kind of know what that's all about, but I don't really know what that's all about. It's interesting that when he says that we're supposed to love God, he says, love God these ways. You know, so Julie and I, we have, not by really choice, we have a somewhat of a public life. People, you know, we understand it. People see us and all that kind of stuff. And people come up to us and they would talk about, oh man, you guys must love each other. Y'all have a great relationship and all that. And so you really love, you must love, you really love each other. They don't even say must. He goes, you guys really love each other. So this idea of love is not an ethereal love. This idea of love is not that I love my wife. It's not like people get into my head and go, oh, yeah. I see there's some droplets of love in there somewhere. No, it's tangible. It's what we do. Everybody say do. It's not just what we think, how we feel in our hearts. Like it's the guy who says, the wife who says, honey, you never tell me that you love me. He goes, I told you on our wedding day, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. That does not fly, gentlemen. I'm still here, aren't I? But your love is displayed in your actions. If you're old school like me, you remember Toby Mac, he had a whole song called Love is a Verb. It's the truth. Love is action. He says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. These are action words. We tend to think that, well, somehow I love God. I love God. But it's shown by what we do. And it's in the doing that we relate to each other in love. It's not just that I think that I love the people that are around me. I think that I love, it's in our actions and what we do. So let's go to another scripture, Galatians chapter 5. And one of the things, I'm just going to say this, because I felt prompted to. We'll say it boldly, strongly, and unashamedly. The church needs correction on this issue. We need correction on this issue. And let me also say that love isn't just, I thought about the, and let me just say something, because I read the lyric of that, one of the songs that says, help give me grace to not offend, right? Well, that is true in a sense, but also remember that the gospel is offensive. What we think is right and wrong is offensive, and it's going to be offensive, and that's part of it, right? Amen. But what that song is referring to is how we treat one another, right? That we are supposed to speak the word, the truth, in love, right? So I just wanted to clarify, when I say love, I'm not talking about ushy gushy, everything is allowed and all that. You'll see as we move forward. But I want to say but this area we need some correction on. Let's go there. Let me just read scripture. It says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. And these are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Should be obvious, right? Amen. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. So Paul's like, I'm tired of writing just anything similar, like all the other things. And I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's that word kingdom of God again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says the law is not against such things. Is that all we have? So here we have, well, let me ask you a question. Many of this is not new. There's a couple of things I want to bring out. First of all, he talks about the kingdom. He said those who practice such of those bad things are not going to enter into the kingdom. So this is still kingdom talk from when Jesus said, when he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's the way that things are supposed to be from God's point of view. And it's the kingdom with Jesus as the head, right? So he says, and then he told the scribe, he says, you're not far off from the kingdom of God. He speaks about the kingdom here. But notice that these things that he talked about, most of these things are relationship things. A lot of these things are relationship. And most of all of them, arguably, is about relationships. But here's where I think the church needs some correction. Now think about this. So baseball season is happening. Hallelujah. Our Braves are doing really, really well. Hallelujah. And I was thinking, Julie and I were talking, and she, you know, when you're teaching somebody how to play baseball, and when you're teaching people and people are learning how to play baseball, or even when people are actually playing baseball, and a pop fly is hit to them, what are they supposed to do? Catch the ball. Catch the ball. A pitcher throws a pitch right down the middle. What are you supposed to do? Hit the ball. Are you supposed to strike out? No. Are you supposed to, when the pop fly comes up, are you supposed to drop it? Those are things we're not supposed to do. But when the pop fly is hit, I guarantee you, the center fielder is not going, don't drop it, don't drop it, don't drop it, don't drop it. I mean, now, when you were a kid, you may have. I know this kid used to. I know Acuna's not trying to say, don't drop it, don't drop it, don't drop it, don't drop it. What is he saying? Catch the ball. Or I got it. Catch the ball. And then when you get your, if you buy something from IKEA, and you open up the box, and then there's all those instructions, you know what it doesn't tell you? What not to do. Isn't that true? I mean, it's not completely clear. It's IKEA. It's not the Bible after all. But it tells you what to do, right? There's a goal to the putting it together. There's a goal in baseball. There's a goal when you're playing Monopoly with your friends or family, or you're playing whatever game. There's a goal in that, right? You know what you don't do is you don't focus on the thing not to do. But what have we done in the church? When we talk about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit, name all the sermon. I'm guilty of it. Name all the sermons you've ever heard. Which one of those things do you hear most about? Don't do that. Don't. Hey, and I know in your private life, you're going, all right, today I'm not going to do sorcery. Today is the day. I'm not doing sorcery. I mean, you may try it, but you're whatever. And think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Did Jesus walk around with a mindset when he walks up to the guys, hey guys, hey, we had a great day today. You know how I know that? Jesus is like saying, he goes, I didn't lust today. You know what he did do? Scripture says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. So, but what does the church focus on? Now, is there a wrong way to play baseball? Yes. Should you strike out? No. Is there bad ways to play baseball? Yes. Ask the Royals from yesterday. Just saying. I'm just saying, it happened, you know, examples. What don't do. Hear me, for sure. Why does the church focus on the what not to do? Instead of the things that we're supposed to be doing. Like if your goal, I'm just going to boldly say it. If your goal in your life is to get through your life and not lust a whole lot, you've missed the point. If that's your goal, Paul said it like this, make love your aim. My goal is love. And it's not just in the ethereal. It's in the doing. This is so important that Jesus says, hey, disciples, they're going to know you're my disciples by this. By this, that you love one another. So this is uncomfortable because there are many aspects of the kingdom of God, right? There's many aspects of it. One of them is victory. We have victory over the power of the enemy. Amen. I believe that we have, there's healing available for you. There's deliverance available for you. There's clarity of mind for you. But guys, it's the truth. Much of the church has made this all about you and what God has done for you. And we stop. It's not the gospel. That's not the entirety of the gospel. What we're called to do is love. And it's in the doing. Why is it that the world knows what we don't believe in more than what we do believe? That's an indictment. There's definitely things that we disagree with the world. Amen? Flip on the news. Flip on whatever. Like, there are definitely things that are going out there that we, as godly people, who define right and wrong from God's perspective, not our own. We don't make it. We talked about this. We don't make up the rules. We don't make up the... We're not God. God makes up the rights and wrongs. And those are standards that we uphold in this church and as a believer in Jesus and as a follower of God. But how we treat others should be what people see. Yeah, they're not going to... Yeah, and people are going to push back. I know all the things. Let's go back to verse 22 of Galatians 5. Now we have a little bit clearer. Don't think about what I did wrong. Think about what I did right. But now, as we read this again, identify yourself. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Actually, some theologians say that it's a singular fruit, and that fruit is love. And it looks like joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's a theological thought. I think it's both, honestly. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. How are we doing? Still with me? Did I lost you at peace? Kindness. Kindness, that's a thing. Random acts of kindness is a worldly thing, but it's a Christian value. Goodness, faithfulness. How about this? Gentleness. How we doing? And self-control. The law is not against such things. And as we deal one-on-one, individually with people, you see how these things should be. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I've never seen, go back to verse 22. I've never seen a relationship destroyed because there was way too much peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I never saw a relationship that failed because of, he's just too kind. They're just too kind. They tell me the truth, and a lot of times it's really harsh, but man, they, I don't know what to do with that because they're really kind and loving. Against such things, there is no law. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, when we talk about the Christian life and what it looks like as a Christian, and let me just say it, you walk a balance here because people can hate you because of your values. If they hate me, honestly, listen, if they hate me because of my values, I'm okay with that. As a believer, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But if they hate me because I treat them bad, I'm not okay. I'm not changing my values. I'm not changing. I can't change. But who am I to change what God's definitions of right and wrong are? And if you're mad at me for that, that's fine. But if you're mad at me because I treated you bad, then it's a problem. If we're, and I know those are, but really, sometimes I also feel like we look at this from a big, like a 100 feet, a 100-mile view. You're looking down. And really, this stuff is every day, one-on-one, husband, wife, parent, child, child to parent, boss to coworker, to employer, to employee, stranger. And how we treat one another is vital. I mean, and this is the word that we're probably going to land on next week, is this word, generosity. Generosity. And that's not just a financial term. Generosity is an attitude of a heart. And how we give to each other, how we sow kindness to each other, how when I say something stupid and Julie doesn't respond in anger and wrath and hatred, and that's love in action. Do I deserve it? Probably. Do I need to be chewed out? Probably. But you know what my wife is actually really good at? Later. We'll address that later. Because you're pretty hot right now. Nothing that she could say in that moment would make it any better for me. How many of y'all, anybody else imperfect people out there? But you know what that is? Love. You know what that is? Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Prefer each other. Prefer one another. What if, crazy thought, when Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love God and love each other, what if that was really the church's goal? What would that look like? So glad you asked, because you're going to come back next week And we're going to continue on with this conversation about this idea. And so I want you today to always ask myself, you know, Lord, what do you want them to know and what do you want them to do? This is what I want you to know. What I want you to know is we've had it upside down for a long time. Should you be sexually promiscuity and all that stuff? No, of course not. But we focused on the wrong things. I want you to know that we may have our focus off. And then what I want you to do is this week, I want you to put this scripture, the fruit of the Spirit, up somewhere where you can see it. And make a note that when you leave the house or you're out and about, I want you to ask yourself, God, help me to walk this way. Don't walk around going, God, don't let me look at another girl in the wrong way. Don't let me look at another guy in the wrong way. Don't have me have outbursts of wrath today. Don't let me do sorcery today. Don't let me do you know, all the bad. Don't walk around. Don't say, God, don't drop the ball. But God, help me this week to push forward the kingdom of God. His way, his goodness, his kindness, his ways, his truth. When you have an opportunity to speak truth. And kindness, love, right? Let's all stand together. You know why I love the Hope Center? Because the Hope Center has this attitude. They have the attitude of, how can we help? How can we help this mom? Don't have an abortion. But how can we help? How can we come alongside you and help you? Because we do believe that's a baby. And how can we help? Because it's the mom and the baby. Amen? Let's all bow our heads. Yeah, what I hear the Lord saying is just let him process for a second. So I'm going to do that. Just take about 30 seconds and just process what was spoken. Ask, and what I mean by process is dialogue with the Lord about this. God, as the song we sang earlier, I only want to be found faithful. Lord, make me able to represent you well. God, forgive us where we have focused on the wrong things. And God, I know that you have come to set us free. And you have come to give us life and life to the full. And I thank you, God, for healing our bodies, bringing healing to our minds and our hearts. But God, if we've made this all about us, God, we're sorry. Father, I pray that you would just tweak that a little bit. And God, I thank you that you are not the God who just points your finger and says how bad we are. But God, you are willing to be patient with us. And through your kindness and your goodness and your faithfulness, even to us, God, you're faithful. You lead us and you grow us from glory to glory. from faith to faith, from obedience to different levels of obedience. So God, we thank you, God, that you're patient with us as we learn. But God, just because you're patient with us doesn't mean we want to stay where we're at. God, we want to grow. God, would you help us become more like you? God, in a world where people are desperate to see the love of God, in a world, God, where people are confused with any number of things they're confused about in our world today, God, what they need is your great love in their life. God, would you help us, God, to be that voice in our world of your love? God, even though they may not agree with us on different things, God, I pray that we will keep that love button pushed and we would love people. And God, we thank you, God, that you're helping us. Just reminded of the scripture, it says, actually, it's not by might or by power, but it's by God's Spirit. Thank you, God. It is the fruit of your Spirit. We love you, God. Just put your hand one more time. We do this just as a point of just solidifying maybe what God wants to speak. Just say, God, help me to represent you well in every area. I speak the truth in love. I show kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. God, I thank you. It's by your power. In Jesus' name. All God's people said amen. 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 Now we can do this. Amen. We can represent the love of God. We can represent who God is. Man, I got so much more to say. That's why I'm not doing it just in one shot. So I got to stop. So, man, I hope you guys have an amazing, amazing week. If you need prayer for anything, we'll have a couple of people up here ready to pray for you. If y'all want to come on up, if you're a prayer person. But if you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray for you. God bless you guys. Let's go out and push forward God's goodness, his kindness, his kingdom this week. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Have an amazing, amazing week.